Oh, so the point is, though,
yes.
Gluten-free, are we filming? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we record. Yeah. So we record a ton of it, and then, like...
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then when Mikey does this, that's when it starts.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's really going to throw me off the editing process. God damn you.
That's when he lines it up.
Yep.
So, the gluten-free thing...
Yep.
There are a lot of people who have now just decided that they are gluten-free, and I feel like it's the same with the almond milk thing. Like, I can't have lactose.
I can't have dairy.
Yeah,
find that out when you're a child, not when you're 22.
I have adult onset gluten allergy. No, you don't need that many carbs in your life. And then people will create their own fucking science for it, and they will.
Right.
So they're going months without eating bread, right? And then the first time they have a carb, they're like, oh, I really upset my stomach. I'm like,
because you're not even been eating carbs.
Yeah, no shit.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Your body's probably like, oh my God, I need it.
It's so good.
Yeah. Hey, if you go months and months without eating raw vegetables, like, go 3 years without eating raw vegetables and then eat a bag full of fucking carrots, I bet you, God damn it, you're going to be like, oh, I'm allergic to carrots. Yeah. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Two Guys with Raging Goals. I'm Mikey, and this is Adam. And every Friday, we bring you a conversational podcast where one of us brings a topic to the table, and we discuss it for your enjoyment. If you like that, you can follow us on Facebook and YouTube at Two Guys with Raging Goals. And you can follow us on Twitter and at our website.
Yep.
Damn it! This opening's getting real hard, guys. At Two Guys Raging, T-W-O now.
Yep. That's
the one. One brand. And you can now find us on Patreon at patreon.com/twoguysraging. Go there, throw us bucks. If you have no bucks to throw us, like Greg Miller says, you can catch our shit free on Fridays on YouTube and iTunes, anywhere podcasts are available except for Google Play, because they're a bunch of dicks.
Yep. Fuck Google.
Okay.
Nobody actually uses it.
No, everybody loves Google.
Yeah, just
everybody
uses it.
Yeah. Everybody loves it. They still use the service.
Yeah, right, sure. Exactly. Yeah, that's, well, I don't, I like Google. I like it, but I'm still a big fan of, like, Ask Jeeves. Do you remember that?
Were you alive when that was
Oh, yeah. Ask Jeeves? That was the
Wait,
weird.
Was it Ask Jeeves or was it Ask.com?
No, it was Ask Jeeves.
Okay.
You can type in a question and Jeeves will know.
Yeah. Well, Jeeves was always there for you, though.
Yeah, no.
He was just always there for you. You have something for
Mr. Butler.
Stupid son of a bitch.
But I did. Were you alive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I need fact checks after this. We have our people in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
No
our
people.
Crew.
Our crew.
The windows.
Yeah, the windows. Oh my God, you don't have the blinds open. We're not going to be
able to
do
that. Oh my gosh. I do need to open the blinds.
It's okay. We'll survive.
Oh my God.
Sometimes, so we're like in hood adjacent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, you're in the hood.
Yeah.
I just want to say. I understand what you're trying to do here, but you're in the hood.
Yeah.
All right.
You are south of the of downtown, motherfucker. You are in the hood.
All right, so we're in the hood. And so a lot of times there's interesting things that happen through the window.
Oh, God.
As what happens in the window.
Yeah.
Yes.
So one time somebody broke, they took the seats out of a van.
No, I think it was their van. But then they put it on their porch, set it on fire.
On their porch?
Yeah.
But that was like 2 weeks later.
It's a rental property. Like, so
I think they tried to get it through their door the first time we saw it.
They set it on fire.
And then, it was like a week later. I was like, hey, they're setting that couch on fire. The bench seat?
On fire. And the fucking little psycho kid always swings sticks at people when they walk past their porch. Oh, it's crazy.
It's great. Life in the hood. Speaking of being in the hood, motherfucker right here, Aaron Jackson.
Oh, shit.
Is our rage of the day here with us on Two Guys with Raging Goals. Special guest star. You might know him better as AMFJ, Aaron motherfucking Jackson. There's going to be a lot of swearing in this one.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's different.
Oh, yeah, no, that's different.
I don't know if
that's... Oh, they're not used to that.
I was going to say, I feel like I've watched a few of these, and there was no lack of that.
Right, yeah. All of our Puritan listeners, they're going to be... Oh Lord!
My apologies to all the religious.
I'll be praying for these boys.
Oh my God! So before we get to Our topic is going to be basically interviewing Aaron about his life, because we haven't caught up in a while, so that's what we're going to do. But before we get to that, there's a couple stories, apparently, because Adam
Plug the CD.
Oh, yeah.
You plug the CD really quick.
We might forget later.
I will plug the CD. Back in October, I dropped my very first solo album that I've ever done called Learn to Love Me. You can get it on iTunes, on Google Play. You can stream it on Spotify if you don't buy albums.
We're just kidding about that Google hating shit earlier.
Right, yeah.
You can get it right there.
Right. There's also hard copies available. You can find me on my website, amfjmusic.com.
Okay. Awesome. So we'll probably forget to plug that later. It's also sitting right here.
And
there will be a graphic.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, don't forget the Patreon graphic.
Oh, I will. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be right there. Boom.
I do this, and then Adam doesn't do the graphics, and I'm like an idiot.
And then he looks like a moron.
I'm like,
right here, the graphics come in for like the first 15, it's really like minute and a half, and then we're probably, oh shit, I forgot to start a timer. Oh my god!
Story of this.
Yeah.
This is a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
This is going to be a long podcast, just so I don't know.
Yeah, I normally, we're 5 minutes in, and now you put a graphic right here, guys.
Nothing.
And then I watch the video later, and I'm like, motherfucker.
There's no graphic.
Yeah,
there's no graphic there.
There's clearly no graphic there.
There were graphics.
You can check out our other video right here.
I will put a graphic where Aaron plugs shit.
Oh, but I'm more.
But he's a guest. Yeah. He's wonderful. You're a sack of shit.
Yeah. So there's that.
All right. So, on my way here today. Well, not on my way here.
Right.
But first of all, apologies for the loud turbine sound that you guys can probably hear. There are lights here. There are three of us.
Yep.
There are hot coffee, and it's a fucking greenhouse in this room.
Yeah.
So we have the air conditioner on. So that low humming or loud humming, I don't know. That's the air conditioner, and I'm hoping you guys love us enough to just get over it. So
for sure.
Came before Wayne today, right? So I got to get up. I have to plan my day 2 hours earlier, right? So because I got drive time.
Right.
So get up to go to the gym. 5 o'clock. 5 a.m. Crush it.
Yeah.
Get to the gym at 5:40 because my dog decided to lose his mind this morning and is running around like a crazy motherfucker. A little delayed, but got to the gym. I get there and there's one motherfucker in there. And this guy, so this isn't the problem, but it, just a quick topic.
Okay.
This guy has been going to the gym the same amount of time as me, at least. He was there when I started last year in May.
Right.
So he's been going there. Oh, I actually started in October. Sorry. Anyways, not relevant. He's been going there the same amount of time as me.
Right.
In that time, I've lost some weight. Mm-hmm. I've added, I feel, a good amount of definition to my body.
Yeah.
Doing well. Enough for myself, right? Adam calls them ice cream scoops.
But that's just when we're in the bedroom. I'll tell you something, Mike. You used to be like a Ziploc bag full of pudding. And now you're like a frozen.
I like to think of carved out of jelly.
A little bit more solid.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm working on it. First of all, I got another thing to comment on.
Right.
So Adam just alluded that I'm gay, apparently. When we were at VidCon, a couple people thought I was, we were a couple, right? Because he's gay and very open about it, or at least when you see him across a room, you know he's gay.
Right,
so,
yeah. I don't add it into conversation, but people know.
Yeah.
People know.
And so this guy I was talking to, he was I wasn't sure, about you, but, obviously your partner is gay, so, I put it together, and I was I'm not gay, but I'm straight, he's gay, and he goes, oh, I'm so sorry, and I was like, it's not an insult.
Yeah. Right. I can see why you would make that.
Yeah, I get it. Right. It happens. Yeah. I'm loud as fuck too, and I'm hanging out with this gay guy. We have a company together. I get it.
Yeah.
I get why you misconstrue that. And he says jackass shit like that all the time.
Sorry, guys.
I get it. But I'm only gay with Rodney. So that's a thing.
Right.
Sorry, Katie. I was here first. So back to my sidetracked story. That guy in the gym, he's a pretty big dude.
Yep.
Don't have a problem with a big guy working out in the gym. Good for you. You're here to do shit. I am a formerly very fat kid.
Right.
And still kind of fat. So, whatever. Not a big deal. But this guy, maybe burns 100 calories in the gym. And I'm like, you're wasting your time. Because he'll run from, one bench to the other one and do, two pumps. He's and then he runs to the next one. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because, you're not... you're not actually burning any, like, more so going between the two is probably burning stuff, but, like, you're not actually working out.
Yeah, two pumps ain't.
Yeah, like, you're not getting any.
Well, is he, like...
Low weight.
Is he, like...
I'm way above from that.
Like two scoop.
Yeah, like, no, nothing. No, I'm way buffer than him, and like.
And you've been going to the gym for the same amount of
time. So like that guy,
you should be a personal trainer.
Just a heads up, buddy. Like, ask someone's opinion. That's all I'm saying. Like, cause me, when I started going to the gym, I started asking people, like, hey, what's the best way to lift this or this or this? Cause like, what you're doing is ineffective, and you're fucking wasting your time, and I feel bad for you because I don't like time wasters. Anyways, my rage, comes from these two old fucks who came to the gym right after that.
Oh, boy.
My gym is small. There are two benches, like two racks. There is a rack to do, like, free barbell,
right,
bench press with squats, and then there's a Smith machine.
Right.
These fuckers take both of them. And they're like, okay, that's fine. You're going to lift. Whatever. You got there before me because I was using free weights. So whatever. That's fine. They proceed to do like some choreographed aerobics on these benches. So they have two of the benches because benches roll. So like they aren't attached to the racks.
Right.
And there's only four benches in the gym. So they have two of them. They lay down. Both of them are grabbing the bars. They aren't like even doing like chin-ups or something on these fucking bars. They lay down on the bench and just start like kicking their legs and doing crunches and shit. And I was like... So, there are machines designed for
this. So Mike, at what point did you walk up to them and say, so I wasn't sure about you, but your partner is obviously an aerobics queen.
Well, I murdered so them both. So.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. And here's the evidence.
Yeah, and here's the evidence. The cops are on me. So just like you CrossFit motherfuckers, if you're in a gym like that, like, think it through. That's all I'm saying, because like I cannot bench press now because you are using equipment that's the only equipment I can use to do bench press.
To kick your legs.
Yeah, to kick your fucking legs. Yeah, you can lay on the fucking ground and do what you're doing right now. I'm not trying to knock what you're doing. It's a different sort of exercise. It's not what I do. That's fine. Fucking be considerate.
Yeah, you're not being
like you're a piece of shit, and that's why weightlifting people hate CrossFit people, because they fucking have the ropes halfway across the gym.
Right,
fucking with you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what?
Just buy a CrossFit machine and stay at home.
Or go to there's gyms that are like CrossFit Tactical.
Yeah.
Go to there!
Yeah.
Like Planet Fitness.
Yeah, there you go. Go hang out with Planet Fitness.
Oh my gosh.
They'll love you
though. They'll give you pizza.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
They'll give you pizza.
Great.
Because you want to lose weight.
Okay, so you had some.
I do have a story.
Okay.
Okay.
Alright.
So, this is an update. Okay, so. But I'll get to the update at the end. So, the other day, I came home from work. I was enjoying a nice glass or two or three of bourbon.
That Maker's Mark bottle?
That Maker's Mark bottle that is almost empty.
Yeah. A week ago I was here, there was no bourbon in the house. There's an empty Maker's
Mark. Oh yeah, that next day I was like, I've had enough of this shit. Talk about a drought. This is some bullshit, okay? So I went and got some Maker's Mark. I was enjoying a couple of glasses of that. And I hear a tap, tap, tap on my front door. Okay, cool. Well, so it's me and Nick. I'm watching Twitch and drinking bourbon, and Nick's on the couch, and Nick doesn't answer the door, because he just doesn't. He won't unless he knows, like...
Who's coming?
Somebody's coming over. He won't answer the door. He'll look at me and be like, the door? I'm like, what the fuck? Am I Ask Jeeves, motherfucker?
Dude.
Fuck you!
My girl be doing the same shit.
Yeah, goddammit.
She be doing the same shit.
Yeah, it's some bullshit. So,
you gonna get that?
So, yeah. So
to be fair, it's usually for me. So, I mean, I guess I can kind of go to it. Into
someone
it.
Knocks on our door in Perrysburg. It's like fucking lights out. Like,
right, yeah.
Get on the fucking ground!
We don't know anybody here!
Who the fuck could be knocking on our door right now?
Yeah, so I go to the door and there's this guy at the door, and he is, he's like a little over 5 foot.
So he's a midget?
A little over 5 foot. Maybe like 5'5", something like that, right?
Okay. It's about the height
bald
of
guy,
date.
Kind
of
squat. kind of had the build of George Costanza.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right? Bald. Glasses, but they were like those round glasses, like a serial killer.
Those look ridiculous.
No, actually, what you're describing is a serial killer.
Right.
So a serial killer.
And,
door.
Right.
That would have been shorter. We would have gotten it.
Right. So he comes up, And he says, hey, could you give my car a jump? And I was like,
did he have like chloroform and rag too? I was like, no, but seriously, it's like right over there. It's like creepy. I was like,
right,
couch.
Right, yeah,
house.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was like, well, yeah. However, I don't have any jumper cables.
Okay.
So, yes, I have the ability. Like, my car has a battery. And he was like, oh, okay. If I found some jumper cables, could you get a jump? And I was like, sure.
I'm thinking now is if you're gonna find jumper cables, like, I, yeah, like if I go to your house and I'm like, hey, can I borrow your jumper cable so I can go to Adam's house and get a jump?
Right. So after I close the door, I'm like, okay, maybe he'll figure this out. I need to, like, I'm watching him and he's walking around like the little neighborhood, going to all the people outside, asking if they have jumper cables, and everybody's like,
You know what this guy was? He's a pedophile, and, like, his PO officer was watching him, like, you need to go door-to-door and let them know you're a sex offender.
Right.
And he's just going door-to-door, hey, you got jumper cables? Nah.
Genius.
Talk to him.
I
nailed it.
I asked them, they said no, it doesn't matter to them. So then I come upstairs to get an aerial view because his car is like parked right across the street. And he goes to his car, gets cigarettes out of his car, lights up a cigarette, and then just starts walking. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, he's gonna find a bus and get where he needs to go. Right? Good. Awesome. 20 minutes later.
Oh no.
Comes back to the door and is like, I found jumper cables. From where? Where the fuck did you find jumper cables?
He also doesn't have a car.
Right, he's
also covered in blood.
Right, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. So I throw my car into reverse and pull it up to his car, pop the hood of my car, and he pops the hood of his car.
Do you know how to jump a car?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I attach the jumper cables to my battery. And he goes to attach the jumper cables to his
battery.
Was
your car on?
Huh?
Was your car on?
No.
Okay.
Right. He was like, well, that's a weird thing. He was like,
He goes,
I think your car's supposed to be on. And I was like, no. I'll turn it on after we
attach. Yeah. I ain't having no idea to electrocute it on the street.
Yeah, right.
Stolen jumper cables and all. It's real shady.
So.
Oh my god, this is a shady situation.
It's fucking weird. He tries to...
Living on D-Wall.
Yeah, yep.
Hood adjacent.
Hood adjacent. So he tries to attach the jumper cables, but I'm too far away from his battery.
Oh god.
And I was like, okay, we only need, like, a foot. I was like, so I'm gonna roll forward, you tell me when to stop. Okay.
Oh my god.
Okay. So it's my car, him, his car.
Oh god.
Wait, stop. Okay. So I don't put my hood down or anything. I'm like, okay, just you tell me when to stop. I just want to get this situation over with.
Wow, it sounds like you're committing murder.
So I throw my car into drive.
This is the most intense story.
And it just rolls slowly, very slowly.
Yeah,
I didn't like hit the gas or anything. It's just slow. And then all of a sudden, he goes, I swear to God, like, makes that noise. I'm like, okay.
Do you think that means stop?
I think you mean stop. So I threw my fucking car into park, and I'm like, and I get out, and he's fine. He's fine. Like, that was his signal, I guess.
Wow.
I'm waiting for this guy. He's crushed between the cars.
Right, yeah. That's what I was like. I was like, did I fucking run over his foot or something? I don't know.
You know if you lowered your hood.
So we jump his car. He starts his car, and he's like, what's your name? And I said, my name's Adam. And he's like, thank you so much, Adam. And I was like, not a problem, man. And he was like, my name's Sam. My name's Sam. Do you guys play chess? I was like,
that's so random.
I was like, no, we don't play chess. And he was like, well, if you ever want to play chess, or anything, just come over and we'll do that. I was like, what the
So clearly,
fuck?
Clearly this guy is not a normal guy.
And so my instinct after I walked away from this guy is that he is the guy who left the fucking note on my car and said that he would like to get to know me. 415.
415. So for those of you guys who don't get that reference, if you go back a few episodes, quite a few episodes.
Yeah.
Adam had a scary story about finding a note on his car in like he thought he got like a hot mixtape. And it turns out,
AMJ, stop by D-Wall.
I don't know if he's heard this or not. Also, I want him to know that I want to know him.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck the mixtape.
Yeah. You don't even need the mixtape. Yeah. I just want to get to know Adam.
He's just a cool guy.
He seems like a nice guy.
Also, 415. He'll figure it out.
Yeah,
he'll know.
What the fuck? No, it's
so. Wait, why do you make the connection? Because he invited.
Because he's fucking terrifying, Mike. Because his name's Sam and he plays chess by himself.
What if this man has like Asperger's or something and he's just like highly functioning?
I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
I feel like you got to be pretty socially awkward to be like that.
Yeah, it was.
Did you play checkers? Did he give you like the crazy eyes when he does?
He had nothing but crazy eyes, dude. He had fucking serial killer glasses.
I forgot about the glasses.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Alright, so Adam almost killed somebody.
That's awesome.
No, man. He almost killed me.
Well, yeah, no,
let's you tell Adam
story. Almost it was defense.
A serial killer came to find Adam and Adam almost killed the serial killer.
Yeah. Good job, Adam.
Great.
Proud of you.
Yeah. Although you didn't, so he's still roaming the streets with a chessboard.
But now his car works.
Jumper cable.
Right, oh my gosh, and then he, like, when I was done jumping his car, he grabbed the jumper cables, and I was like, make sure those don't touch!
Yeah, I know.
And he touched them! And it sparked, and I was like, whoa, dude, what the fuck?
Oh, no.
And he was like,
I'm gonna get these off. Like,
and then he went, do you guys like to play?
Right, yeah.
Shit like that happening should tell you that you're not just hood adjacent.
Oh my god.
You were definitely in the hood.
I like how you're like, now I see what you tried to do there, but now you're in the hood.
You're in the hood. Yeah. If that's bad news for you, I'm sorry.
No, I lived here for 3 years, so I know. I know it.
Our studio's in the hood, but the rent is cheap.
Yeah.
So, being wise, the hood
works out. Works out all right. All right. So let's do a little backlog into Aaron.
Yeah.
So I met you. What year did I meet you?
Oh man. It had to be like 06, 07, somewhere in there.
That's as old as my car.
10 years ago.
My car is an 06.
I met you in like 06 or 07.
Was that 10 years ago? I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to be dead soon. Wait, how old are you now then? 28?
I'm 28.
Fuck. We're old.
Yeah.
Old as shit, man.
Yeah. Life and stuff.
Yeah, life and shit. You got two kids now?
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit.
You have two kids?
I have two kids.
Yeah.
Boy.
Right?
Jeez, ow.
I know.
It's crazy.
I said, Adam was telling me about someone who has 5 kids.
Oh, no.
And I said, I would stab myself in the neck.
Yep. Yeah. I'm rock jumping without a parachute.
Yeah.
You got to have, dude, your patience and your, dude, you just got to one. That's all, that has to be, if you have 5 kids, clearly that is your dream in life, man. Like, and hopefully it is because that's what the fuck is happening. That is your life.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna have no hobbies, nothing. It's hard to have hobbies with 2 kids, son. Fucking 5? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Shit. I wake up in cold sweats at night. I have a mixture of dreams about more kids and child support. Like my wallet. Wake up and sweat up my wallet. It's all good.
Oh, God. All right, so I would say, yeah, it was probably, because I graduated in 05.
I'm pretty sure it was like 06, 07. It was before, I don't know why I remember it like this, but it was before Obama was president. But when I was finally able to vote, it was for Obama. So I was like, all right.
That's Aaron's life. It's before Obama and after Obama. That's his timeline. It's like AD and whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, BC and AD, different.
I'm glad you understand. Before Barack. After Barack. BB and AB.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's the only way that my life works.
shit.
Third term.
Have you guys seen the fucking, have you guys seen the meme, by the way, that's like Britain and America are currently in a battle to see who's craziest?
Yes.
Britain is winning right now, but America has a trump card to play.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's some good shit.
I saw that and I was like, liking it.
Yeah.
Liking that. That's the truth.
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely 06, 07, somewhere in there.
Yeah, because I graduated in 05 from high school, and then
Definitely didn't mean high school.
No, I moved in, so it might have been 07, yeah, because I moved in 05, and then lived in Pennsylvania for like a year and a half-ish, and then went to IU, and that's when I started meeting you. And you were living in Canterbury at the time, I think, or you were just getting ready to move there or something. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, because you were in New Haven, actually.
Yep.
That now, okay, you call this ghetto, but I mean, New Haven.
Yeah, New Haven's like fucking scary.
I mean, it's like it's tomato, different, tomato. Different types of
right. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh my god. So I met Aaron then. When did you guys end up meeting?
Oh, I didn't meet him until like, I was already doing the hip hop thing and dropping songs.
I
had to be like 2011.
I graduated high school in 2010.
Jesus Christ!
Wow. I know. Right?
So we didn't meet probably until
my first kid in 2010.
Yeah. That was after Barack.
Right. Yeah.
That was AB.
That was DB during Barack.
Yeah, during Barack.
During Barack.
So.
The 8-year span, man. During Barack.
Right.
It's an important time in my life.
Right.
I felt very patriotic.
Aaron's like, still believe.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm the opposite of patriotic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I met you in late 2010. Right? Because I would have.
I don't know.
I would have graduated like May of 2010. And I started going to school. And I started that. Yeah, yeah.
Had to be short
there. It had to be because I wasn't 21. Okay, and that's why you didn't want to hang out.
So just so everybody knows, like, and I don't know if I ever told you this, like, that's why I hated this kid. Well, I hated him because somebody fed me a bunch of bullshit about him too.
Right.
But I didn't like him for the main reason was that I was like, wait, how old is this kid? And I forget how old you were at the time.
Yeah, I've been like 19, like, maybe.
I think you were held back. You were like 20.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, fuck you.
He's fucking retarded.
Yeah.
That's one thing I will say, man. Even, like, beating you the first time when you were still only 19 or 20, you were very, like, when you told me you were that young, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you were definitely, you didn't act like a 19 or 20.
I was in farm camp.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
So that, like, kind of accelerates the aging process.
Yeah. So I started thinking, like, fuck, I'm, like, 23 at the time, 24, and I was like, everybody we hang out with is over 21, you guys, and now we're bringing this kid along, and we're never, like, we're gonna finish doing something, we're gonna all go to the movie together, as a group,
right?
Because that's what we did.
Fucking hang yourself!
And so we'd all go to the movie, and then we'd be like, let's go to Granite City afterwards.
Right.
And the only place you could sit would be the bar, and then he's gonna get carded, and we're not gonna be allowed to sit there, which isn't a real thing at Granite City, but that was where my mind went,
right.
And I was like, we're gonna wanna go to a bar or something, and then everybody's gonna, well, we can't go because Adam can't fucking be there.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking great. That's great. Yeah, let's bring him along.
Right.
Bullshit.
Fuck this guy.
But then when we went to Chicago, I was the only one who thought of you for alcohol.
Right.
Because everyone was like, we'll just go out and get alcohol.
We'll go out and get drinks.
Yeah, yeah. So,
except for Adam.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Adam's still not 21. And we all, like, the six of us, are, I don't know how, six? Yeah. Three tubes. Six.
Yes.
Math.
Three couples.
Yes.
Well, see, for math, because I'm Asian, I need an abacus.
Oh, yeah.
So
Sorry.
Six of us.
Right.
So we all go to Chicago, and nobody fucking thinks to bring this kid, like, bring liquor with us.
Yeah.
And, like, we're in the car on the way there, and I'm like, wait, nobody brought alcohol? Should we stop? Like, or, like, should we pick something up so that we have it in the hotel? And everyone's like, no, we'll just go out and get drinks. Because nobody's fucking from Chicago. Nobody knows anything.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we'll just go to, I don't know what they thought they were going to fucking do. We'll just go to all the clubs. And I was like, Adam's, like, 20.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do about that? And they were like, oh, well, you know. And I was like,
right.
Oh, yeah, I guess fuck him. I don't even know the kid, but I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck this piece of shit. And the fucking train he came in on. No alcohol for you. Hey, Adam, hold down the hotel where I'm going to get laid.
Or, matter of fact, Henry, it'll be funner just kick it in the car in the parking lot.
Right, yeah.
You can just be the DP.
No.
No, because I couldn't drive yet.
Either. Oh, shit.
I was
why were you there?
Right. Like, that's what everybody else was asking.
Oh, my God. So, I met you 06, 07, somewhere right in there, maybe 07. And I'm going to IU, so I would come up, and on the weekends, like, I was dating a girl here, so I'd come up on the weekends, hang out with her, and that's, she was friends with you, so I got to hang out with you and get to know you then. And then...
Oh, me still, correct?
Yeah, yeah, you. Adam, I met, apparently, 20 years later. I don't know how. I have distinct memories, like, so for me and you, like, when you and I started to become, like, better friends, so, like, I moved up to Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
And
moved into the apartments over there.
Yeah.
Westwood.
Yeah, those scary fucking apartments.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and at the time, they weren't as scary.
Right, yeah.
Like, they were, like, every once in a while, there was a gunshot, and I'd be like,
oh.
Do you think that was a gunshot, or...
No, we're just hood adjacent.
Yeah. We're just hood adjacent. It's fine.
It's okay.
But it was, like, $300 a month to live there.
Right.
And, like, granted, it was a one-bedroom. But, like...
That's still a good price.
Yeah.
That's
a and they paid for all your heat, and everything was gas. So they paid for gas, your stove, all your heat, your hot water, all that shit was paid for. I was like,
move in.
How is this happening?
Give me
right.
the papers.
Yeah.
Sign my name.
Yeah, right? So I started... I was living there, and then you and I both went to the same college. We were going to IPFW.
Yeah. The short time that I went to college.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was, like, supposed to be finishing then, and then I dropped out, and then it was, like, whatever, 5 years, and I went back.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I, like, and this contributes to probably why we had short terms in college. You and I had, like, a break or a class at the same time, something.
Yeah.
So we would go, instead of going to class, we would both be on campus.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we would leave and go get Grinders. And 40s.
Fancy.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Grinders and 40s.
And we would go back to Westwind and just hang out and chill.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
You want to
get just
grinders?
Wasted at like noon.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wit Tuesday.
Yeah.
I just get wasted. I
right.
eat pizza grinders and watch superhero movies and shit.
And it would be like fucking 4 o'clock and I'd be like, I'm fucking hungover. Why am I hungover at 4 in the afternoon?
Man.
This is fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
There's a man.
I forgot about those.
There's a Mancino's in Toledo. And like every time I drive by it, I'm like, ah, grinders. Ah.
I still drink the old English 40, so
really?
Just
shut
word,
the fuck
word,
up.
Word of the homie Rod Moon. I definitely still drink the old English. My taste in alcohol does not evolve.
Still taking down malt liquor?
We still down the malt liquor. I don't drink for the taste, I drink for the feel.
So when did you start getting into the hip-hop scene?
Getting into the hip-hop scene.
Because you, okay, so like backtrack, so like you, we went to the same high school, but just not at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you... Like, you have always been into music. Like
yeah,
you've
I'm,
drums
I'm,
and...
I'm originally a drummer. I've been a drummer since I was about 11, 12 years old. As far as, like, trying to write lyrics and stuff, man, like, even before I was a drummer, I was always trying to write songs and come up with my own song concepts.
You said trying because he can't write.
Well,
he can't read.
I was also a fourth grader.
So. So it was mostly pictures.
So there's that.
Right, yeah.
So. All right, well, I guess that's fair.
So, you know, I was always trying to write songs as far back as I can remember because I've always loved music. But through my teenage years, I was a drummer. You know, I was into heavy metal a lot.
No, I've seen the pictures.
Oh,
my gosh.
Hair down to the middle of
the
dude. All the time. The fishnets, all of it.
Bondage pants and lipstick.
All of it.
Oh, boy.
So I was originally a drummer in metal bands and stuff. And then I just, you know, as I got older, closer to like, you know, 18, 19, I just got sick of always being in bands with closed-minded people who never wanted to evolve their musical sound, their musical taste. Like,
okay.
I like this type of music, and that's the only type of music that matters. And this is the only type of music that's real music. It's like, dude, I can't get on board with that.
Yeah.
Like, I love music, dude. I like all types of music. You know what I mean? Like,
he's normally bumping country.
Yeah. I like all types of music except country.
Yeah.
I do not fuck with country.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about country.
You gotta listen to some Garth Brooks.
No.
Get down.
Get down with some Garth Brooks.
Some Kenny Chesney.
No, just
Garth Brooks.
Standing outside the fire?
That's the shit, man.
Get hyped when that song comes out. Yeah, Thunder Rock.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Stop it.
Somebody loop a soundtrack.
Fuck this podcast.
Yeah, we're more out.
Shut down. We're gonna go downstairs and listen to Garth Brooks. Whole album, and then Chris Gaines.
Oh God!
You were kind of evolving.
By the time I turned 18, like even before I got into the metal stuff, I was originally into hip hop and stuff like that before. Being a teenager, I was really easily swayed.
Any artists in particular?
As a kid?
Yeah.
As a kid.
Not metal, because I don't give a shit about that, but hip hop.
Back then, it was like I listened to it like a lot of Jadakiss, a lot of Nas. I liked Puff Daddy. I was a kid. Puff Daddy Forever CD. I was down. I had it.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, I listened to a lot of, you know, like the 90s lyricists and stuff like that. I remember listening to, and I probably shouldn't have been listening to it as a child, but Biggie Smalls' Ready to Die album as a child.
Damn.
No boy.
That's amazing. A lot of Eminem back then, because that's right around the time Eminem dropped the Slim Shady LP.
Yeah.
The Marshall Mathers LP. The Marshall Mathers LP was a very, very large part of my childhood.
I
got taken away from me by my mom, and I stole money from her to go buy it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't keeping me from this music.
Right.
This is speaking to me right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I will steal money from you and go get more.
Yeah, yeah. As far as hip hop back then, it was like, you know, the 90s, you know, superstars in the rap game, if you will.
Yeah.
And some of the ones that shouldn't have been superstars.
Like Justin Timberlake.
Just so we're clear, the second Justin Timberlake album is fantastic.
Oh, I love JT.
Fantastic. The first one right after he left NSYNC still sounded like NSYNC, so I couldn't fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like Future Sex Love Sounds?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was all the way down.
Yeah.
So like, you know, after that period I got into metal a little more with like some of the, like, I was very easily swayed as a teenager by people around me. You know what I'm saying?
That's just part of being a teenager.
So I became the fuck rap and blah, blah, blah. I would listen to metal. And as I finally got older and, you know, came of age and stuff, I started then, like, the lifestyle that I chose to start living and the things that I was doing, I started resonating more with rap and hip-hop and stuff like that. And, like, I got sick of starting bands and all that type of stuff. So there was a good 2 years there when I lived in Canterbury.
Yeah.
There was a good 2 years there where I just wasn't doing music at all. Like,
okay.
I wasn't playing drums. I wasn't, like, trying to do nothing.
Taking whiskey right to the face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You was there.
What was it? Well, like, why didn't you? Why did you step away from that?
From hip-hop?
Yeah, well, like, just, like, creating music in that time in your life.
It was my first time moving out on my own.
Right.
And I had nowhere to take my drum set with me. So I couldn't, when I lived in New Haven with Joe, I had nowhere to put a drum set. So I ended up just selling my drum set for that reason and because to get money, you know what I'm saying? Because I needed money to move out on my own.
Right.
And then, you know, I moved into an apartment. And that just like shuts the drum chances down even more.
Busting
out your drums.
And it was it was just so random, dude. I remember sitting there, it was me, Zach Edgar, the Canterbury crew.
Yeah.
I don't remember who exactly was there, but we was just smoking.
Barrett
was probably there. We was just chilling there, smoking blunts, dude, and like I just decided I'm gonna go to college. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go for music performance. Blah blah blah. I'm gonna go to college, learn more.
Oh.
I already had a really good understanding of music theory from the drum lessons I took from the drum teacher.
Yeah.
But I took the beginner music theory course because, you know, there's nothing wrong with refreshing yourself.
Right.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which was a complete waste of time. I literally knew everything.
Yeah. This refresher is a fucking waste of time. Never refresh.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Didn't need to refresh.
Just keep going.
Yeah. But, we were just chilling one day, and I really can't remember who all was there. I feel like Zach Shannon was there, too. So we're just sitting there smoking blunts, right? Just chilling. And just we're just listening to music, and out of nowhere, I was like, I'm going to start rapping.
Just out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere.
Really?
It was not a problem. I had a conversation recently with somebody, they're like, bro, like, you love music, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you do music no more? You don't write songs or nothing. And it just kinda resonated with me and it just kinda stuck with me. I was like, damn, what the fuck don't I do that shit?
Yeah.
Like, that's like one of the things that I got super good at,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, this is ridiculous that I'm not doing it. And like, I just kinda looked at like the type of music that I was starting to listen to more, and it was all hip hop, and I was really starting to, you know, respect, you know, being a lyricist and being in the talent that it takes to be like that and to do the things that Eminem and Biggie and Tupac and all them do and Nas and,
You know, so like on that scale, where are you? So like Eminem's here, okay, and then Nas, Biggie, like they're all like, are you right in between Nas and Eminem? Like,
but no, really, like, so what year was this that you had this like revelation? Like, I'm gonna get back into music.
Okay, like, and I can't go too deep into this for reasons of incriminating myself. But something happened at my job, if you will, and I was unemployed for, you know, 2 months, broke as fuck, and because of how broke I got, this was all pre-kids, pre, you know,
pre-growing, you know what I'm saying?
I got super broke because I got laid off, if you will, and I got really depressed because of it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had only gotten, the two things that I feel like I've put a lot of passion towards and a lot of skill towards and tried to get really good at was the job that I had and writing music. So I'm super depressed that I'm just like, it sucks, dude. I'm never gonna get the job again. I'm never gonna have a lot of money again. I just got to thinking about it and I was just like, first of all, that's just ridiculous. I'm gonna find work again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is temporary. So I had to snap myself out of that. I'm like, dude, chip. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody calm down for a minute.
So then in that moment, I was, you know, it was shortly after that period, I had a conversation with one of, it was Zach Shannon. I had a conversation with my buddy Zach Shannon. This dude's like my brother, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So he's like, back up here now, right?
Yeah.
That's what I
and he's like, dude, why don't you make music no more? And I was like, dude, that is a fantastic question.
Great question.
That is hard-hitting
journal. Oh my God, and that's like one of those moments, and I think that like we all kind of have those.
Oh yeah.
People ask,
it's like an
awakening. People ask the right fucking questions.
It's almost like, and you're like,
why?
And
why?
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
So then, like, it was probably a couple days later, dude, we're just sitting there, and this is something I had been, obviously, I'm not expressing it with everybody I'm kicking it with because it seemed like it was out of nowhere. But I had been thinking deeply about it for a few days now. And we're just sitting there chilling and smoking, man, and I'm just like, dude, I'm going to start rapping. I was like, not only do I want to get good at rapping, but I want to get good at writing songs, like full songs. Like, even if I get to a point in the music industry where maybe I'm not going to make it as an artist, I feel like I could definitely 100% make it as a songwriter, ghostwriting for people, just writing tracks for people.
Yeah.
So
Dr. Dre is always looking for a good ghostwriter.
You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, it's probably 09, and I had just started my first semester of college, and I just decided, you know, obviously I just got my big college check, and I was feeling good about that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So for those of you who don't understand what it's like being a poor kid, when you get a student loan check for like $2,000, $2,500, and it's fuck me!
Yeah, it was like $6,000.
Damn!
$6,000. I got a check for $6,000.
Uh-huh.
Went to the bank and cashed it. Like, you want to open an account? I was like, no.
Nah.
I'm going to need that.
Nope. take whatever fees you want and give me that fucking money.
I'm going to just need that.
Yeah.
So I just decided, I got out of class one day, and it was me, like, kind of how me and you used to kick it. I used to kick it with Zach Shannon.
Yeah.
We both started going to college at the same time. So me and Zach got out, he got a ride for me. I was like, hey bro, let's go to Guitar Center. I'm about to buy Pro Tools and a microphone. I'm doing this.
Nice.
Like, we're doing this. And like, the rest, I guess you could just say is...
Yeah, I remember you moving out to your dad's, which is, I don't know, way the fuck out in the farmland.
Yeah.
Probably around where he went to camp.
Right, yeah.
And
we're neighbors.
Yeah, that's what it was. Neighbors. I mean, it's like 7,000 miles apart, but you're neighbors.
Well, we're neighbors.
Yeah. Only two houses out there. I remember one time you calling me. Like, I was on my way there, and you were just, like, you had just recorded, like, some of your first shit. Like, nothing that you ever put out.
Oh, God.
But, like, you just recorded some of your first shit, and, like, you called me, and I didn't answer my phone. And you were, like, whoever you were hanging
with.
You were, like, Mikey didn't answer his phone. He's probably bumping Nelly
in the XB.
And then 2 minutes later, I roll up just fucking...
Bumping Nelly?
As loud as you can.
Was he bumping Nelly? He was bumping the specific song that I said.
It was number one.
I think Zach that was there with me.
Yeah,
we just started. You rolled up so we could hear it inside the house.
Yeah, obviously.
We just instantly started dying.
Because
I had said it probably like not even a full 2 minutes before he comes rolling up.
He's probably bumping Nelly.
Oh my God.
Can't fucking hear it.
That was great.
And I remember, like, so, like, we all had, like, a really good laugh about that, and then we were hanging out, and I remember you were like, hey, I just, like, dropped some shit, like, you want to listen to it? And I was like,
I think I still remember.
Yeah, sure, I can't remember what it was at all, but I remember hearing it and, like, hey, you should, like, do this shit. Like, I remember thinking that, like, just, like, this is like good. This is like some shit I would listen to. Yeah. But I was bumping Nelly, so like I'm not great. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, this would play great in the XB.
And you probably had it in your mind. It was my first time ever recording something too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I thought you were a piece of shit. But I wasn't gonna tell you that. Yeah. I remember that, and then like. I feel like it just progressed from there. Like,
oh yeah, starting out in a bedroom studio, now recording a real studio.
That's I feel like that's where we're at right now. We're like, hey, we're like at the AMFJ studio kind of setup that we got going on.
Yeah. Humble beginnings are the best beginnings, bro. Yeah. They build so much character. They build. Mm-hmm.
I thought about that too the other day, actually, because I remember who was when you were living at Stone Point. And you had like the cushions up.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
So I thought about that because we have like an echoey sound in this room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, Aaron, that one time, he had all that cushioning shit up there. We're absorbing the sound.
Yeah.
I said, we should do that everywhere.
That's what shit Nick would come up with. It's like, let's not. Please don't watch this episode. We'll come back here and he's gonna Mod Podge fucking cushions in the walls. Okay, don't say that.
Red
shit.
Couch cushions.
Yeah, right. Fucking everywhere.
I've got extra drawers for these. I just pile them and I keep them everywhere because I'm a fucking squirrel. I have extra shit everywhere.
When was this? When you recorded this and you let Mikey hear your first?
This had to be like spring 2009. Spring 2009, summer 2009.
Okay. Definitely. And so what? So I remember. So it wasn't until probably like the summer of 2011 when I started listening to your music, because that's when like you and I first met. Oh my God! Right.
That whole
like,
man, when that came out, though.
Right, like
this shit is awesome.
Right, because it was like catchy as fuck.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, but
it was definitely a nice glimpse into the future.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So what did your journey look like from that spring of 2009 to when you started making all those partnerships with all those other local rappers? So like
to when I met you.
Right. Right.
So okay.
So that's,
you know,
that's like
I bought Pro Tools. You know, I start trying to record stuff. Obviously, I'm not, you know, not gonna drop none of this stuff because I'm fully aware of what sucks and what doesn't.
Right,
kind of.
Right.
Obviously, you get to, I don't know. Anyways, but yeah. So you know, by 2009, I buy Pro Tools and I'm trying to do stuff and, you know, not happy with nothing, so I don't drop it.
Right.
Trying to think of when like I really inserted myself into the music scene. I was rapping back then with a dude with a buddy of mine named Bobby, and then we met my buddy Buffkin, who became one of my best fucking friends.
Right,
you know what I'm
right.
saying? We met each other and just clicked. I don't know what it was. Like, you know, you meet somebody and just click with them or whatever.
Right.
So I started doing music with Buffkin. You know, we're recording stuff, and like we finally got to a point where we start putting stuff on SoundCloud, and like, this had to be
fucking SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So it definitely took, my son, which is my first child, was born in like October 2010, so it definitely took till 2011 for me to be comfortable enough with myself to drop the music to show to people, and at that time it still sucked too, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I still wasn't a fully developed artist, and like we were the recording quad, but you know, you're hype, you know what I'm saying, so we dropped this shit.
Right.
So, you know, we start dropping music online, some of the local cats start kind of noticing the traction we're getting because a lot of our homies are supporting us and sharing it and playing it.
Right.
And
you
so
hear that? If you like and share stuff, it catches fire.
Just say.
Just to let you know.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
Some of our fans have a hard time noticing the difference between liking something and sharing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even my fiance was like, no, I shared that. And I was like, no, you didn't. You liked it. And she was like, ah, shit, I did. And I was like, fucking goddamn it. Hit the share button, people. Anyways.
So we finally get to a point where we're dropping music and stuff, and people are digging it. Our friends are digging it.
Right.
We're definitely not gaining like random fans off the street yet because we weren't that good yet. But we start getting offers for shows, man. Like, it was probably, we played our first show, had to be like spring, early summer 2011.
CS3?
Yeah,
oh my God, I remember the CS,
yeah.
Like,
no, CS3.
Oh my God, because yeah,
like,
you were just like, you were like dropping singles like,
yeah,
like once a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at the least.
I was
right?
excited. I didn't know.
And it was just like, oh,
I was excited.
Right, and
man.
So like, you're like dropping all these SoundCloud leaks on Facebook, and then like all of a sudden you get this fucking deal at CS3, and I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was progressing, man. And like that show at CS3 actually had a few of the prominent local cats in town, you know what
right
I'm saying?
Yeah,
so we met them, and that just pretty much started the web of networking, you know what
right
I'm saying? So it probably took until, yeah, probably it was like summer 2011 when we did the first show and stuff.
Top
like
tip,
that.
Or right. Interesting fact.
Right.
That's when I first listened to TM103.
Ah.
Because it was playing when we were all waiting around for you guys to go on stage, like we were all just kind of chilling.
Yeah, yeah.
And TM103 was playing in the background. I was like, sounds like Jeezy, this is good.
Yeah.
I kind of like this. Yeah. Go buy this fucking CD. Yeah. Might have been one of the last hard copy CDs I ever bought.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Anything Eminem puts out.
But I'm still an avid hard copy swooper. I like to own. I buy records too.
All
right.
Yeah.
I will definitely be the guy who has the collection of CDs.
Yeah.
When I'm
right.
Old, though.
Right.
I buy my movies too.
Oh know, my god.
Yeah, I love it. I like to have my. I don't know, man.
Oh
like,
yeah. Man.
Nick's the same way.
If something happens and the internet fails and shit, I still want to be able to watch that shit, bro.
You have a lot bigger problems than your CD collection, dude.
The internet fails and Aaron's like. Fucking all my music.
You guys, we've got.
Hey, real shit, that's probably the first thing I'll think about.
Like, what the banks about, and
yeah,
that
probably.
Type of
yeah,
shit.
Fuck that
right.
shit, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I'll eventually come to
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like, my first thought, I'll be like, yeah. Shit, my inspiration. How am I gonna write music for people not to get now?
Oh my god.
Oh fuck! So
yeah, summer 2011, we do our first show, and we start making all these connections, and you know, we start meeting all the people, and then come it was summer like the end of 2011, me and Bufkin decided that we was gonna do like the duo thing and be like be AMFJ and Kid Bufkin as a duo, write songs as a duo and put a record out as a duo.
Right.
So you know, we did that album.
It's like a small slaughterhouse.
Something like that.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
So we decided to do that, and like as we start building ourselves as AMFJ and Kid Bufkin, and like. From there on, man, we started getting show after show after show, and more people were showing up.
Paid gigs? Like, they're paying you to be there sometimes?
Some of them were, like, just
yeah.
to get your name out there, and some of them
Sometimes if you come across, it's very, at our level, it's very rare to find a paid gig, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be pulling mass amounts of people in for people to take you seriously and to pay you. Doesn't matter how dope you are, doesn't matter how good your songs
are.
Like,
right.
If you're not pulling people, they're
not going to bring people to the venue.
Yeah. And that's fine, especially at that point in time. I was not asking for money from people. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, I was just trying to get out
right,
and
right,
people
right.
to hear me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Well, fuck, I can rap. I just want people to hear me. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, there was some, like, sometimes you get, like, if it's a bigger show and there's a bigger artist there, you can buy onto the show and they will give you tickets to sell, but there's a profit margin. Be it a fucking ridiculous profit margin that is just a fucking insult to my fucking
right.
hustle intelligence.
right.
But whatever, bro. If there's gonna be 1,000 people there, I'm fucking down.
Right.
So like, you know, we're putting an album together. This is still in our bedroom studio and stuff like that. So we're putting an album together.
You and Bufkin share a bedroom at this point.
Yes,
right?
for
the record.
It's very small. It's a twin size bed.
Oh shit! We have a spoon. We didn't want to.
Right.
No air conditioning is hot.
Real sweaty.
Really, you know, we do the album, man. It took us a little while to get the album done, but in the midst of getting the album done, we was getting a lot of shows. We dropped the album to a pretty good response. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like A1 sound quality. We did it ourselves.
Was this a
street duet?
A street duet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
did you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
So was it? So did you guys do? Because I remember I was there for the recording of the. First music video that you guys did.
Talk Reckless?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that in my apartment?
No, that was at the... No.
No,
that was loud and clear. That
yeah.
was
okay,
yeah,
okay, yeah, yeah,
I deleted all those videos off YouTube.
Yeah, like, just so you know, you
even
can't
talk
cannot go watch those.
Really?
Huh?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because, just sidebar, the reason I deleted them off YouTube, one, they were not high quality music videos. You know
right.
what I'm saying? We were at a point in our career where we didn't, you know what I mean? We were just trying
yeah.
to do a music video and put it out, you
right,
know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And, like, the songs just weren't that good, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to have...
A collection of
when
good
people
stuff.
When
right.
people when people hear about
yeah.
AMFJ and they're like, okay, I want to see what AMFJ sounds like. When they type AMFJ into Google,
right.
I don't want Talk Reckless to come
right,
up.
Right,
I want
right.
I want John the Revelator to come
yeah.
up or Young
yeah.
and Bold to come up and
right,
stuff
right,
like
right.
that.
So was that before a street duet launched? Did you do that as like a promo?
They were way before Street Duet launched. Back
okay,
then, man,
yeah.
my timing with... I didn't know much about the business aspect of it, so I was just dropping stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just the fucking...
Just finish, publish, put
wow.
it up!
I was that
yeah.
guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't know a lot about it, how to you know, plot out the releasing of something. So
right.
this was all way, way before. And had I known back then about when dropping stuff, we probably could have made a Street Duet a little more... You know, popular.
Yeah.
You know, a little more, whatever, what have you. You know
right.
what I mean? But yeah, all those videos and stuff were before, long before Street Duet.
Okay.
Those songs actually almost got cut off of Street Duet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now, so now who are you with?
I'm with the Successful Music Group.
Successful Music Group. Okay. And you guys, like, so I don't follow a ton of your shit because I don't have time to fucking do shit.
Yeah.
That's not true. I do follow all of your shit. I don't, like, actively follow it. Yeah. I follow it on Twitter. I follow it on Facebook, whatever. Like,
right.
And
you
don't, like,
scroll through your feed constantly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, but I see your guys always posting shit all the time because, like, now when your group comes up, like, I don't even know if I follow a Successful Music Group. Maybe I do. But, like, I see shit all the time.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
All the time. And, like, so, like, it just seems like you guys are doing a lot.
Oh, yeah. Dave set the foundation for a very, very good company, something that could be very successful. And Dave is a very, very smart guy. A very, very smart guy. His knowledge goes far beyond music. He's a smart businessman, he's a smart songwriter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he started the company and laid the foundation. But once he got in, he graduated from college and started getting in his career, and he got placed in Washington, D.C.
Right, yeah.
So he's in Washington, D.C. now, so he pretty much handed the reins over to T-Zank,
okay.
who is the flagship artist of the label. He was the first artist to drop anything from the label. And he's running stuff. And, like, Zank is also a very smart guy. You know, he definitely has a vision for where he wants to see the company go. So he's constantly pumping shit out there to stay relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
he's awesome. Yeah. How many people are in that group?
The Successful Music Group is T-Zank. All of us are solo artists.
Okay.
It's T-Zank, myself, Ben Frankie, and I'm not really sure where E3 stands right now. E3 is a member on Successful Music. He kind of took a little break from music for a while.
Yeah.
From what I understand, he might be getting back into it. If there's any people who listen to E3 watching, do not quote me on that.
Well, see, after you're on the show and then you retweet this and repost it to all your fans and we pick up people, that they are going to see it.
They're going to be like, whoa! E3 gained a really good following when they started, because he's fucking phenomenal artist.
We should have had him on the show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Damn.
Somebody actually fucking good.
Fucking hell.
Have you ever seen his fucking music video, Talk Reckless? It's trash.
It is. It really is. That was also 4 years ago.
No, it wasn't trash for the time. Like, it's all about that evolution you're talking about.
When you look back on what you did in the past compared to what you're doing now.
Yeah, like you talk about fucking Beats for Breakfast, and then a year later you're making Talk Reckless, and that music video was like,
oh, you can see, it's night and day.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about our stuff. So, like, you go back to, like, our first episode, and it's like, oh my god, what the fuck were we doing?
Yes, that's part of being an artist, man. That's part of creating things, and, you know what I'm saying, evolving. You're supposed to hate what you already did because you already did it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not that you can't apply the same formula to certain stuff, but, like, you want to be better than the person you were, you know what I'm saying? Or the artist you were, you know what I mean?
So, last question, because this has probably been a really long podcast. We don't have a timer running because we're a fucking train wreck, but how has having kids in the family changed the dynamic for you? So, like, I like to think of myself as a pretty busy person, right? I work, like, 60, 70 hours a week. I'm doing this podcast. So, like, Tuesdays are not a day off for me. Like, that's my day off from Target, but not, like, I'm here.
Right.
I'm here, I'm recording, and we're going to be doing a live show on Tuesdays. Like, I'm going to be looking into getting T-shirts and shit made. Like, so that Tuesday is Two Guys with Raging Gold Tuesday. Oh, my God, it's a hashtag.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Two Guys with Raging Gold Tuesday.
Yes, perfect. Good job.
Two Guys Raging Tuesday? We'll work it out.
Well, yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Anyways.
I'm going to be part of the decision.
Crucial part of the decision-making process here. I feel like I've got a lot of time stress, right? Like, to try to get all the things that I want to get done is very, very hard for me because I still have, you know, I want to spend time with Sarah. Like, we have a dog who I never fucking take care of. Like, Sarah is basically a single dog parent.
Right.
And, like, you know, I have family and shit. Like, so how do you balance all that? What's that look like for you?
Basically, the simple answer is think of all of the time stress that you have at any given time and times it by 50.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. What it looks like is not very graceful.
Okay.
But I get it done.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
it's very stressful because I'm not the type of person to. The only excuses you make are self-made excuses. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, like,
100%.
At the end of the day, I have these kids now. I love these kids, and I wouldn't give them back for the world.
Yeah.
But I still want to chase my dreams.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
it'd be a weird process trying to return those kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. Baby Depot.
Yeah. So, like, you just it's. There's really no set formula to it, man. You just gotta kind of figure it out. Take the good with the bad, and
like. So when you're on tour, when you guys are gone, like, is that, I mean,
that was stressful.
I gotta imagine that's super tough for
you. Oh man, it was stressful. It was so stressful. Again, at the risk of incriminating myself, I can't go too deep, but
yeah.
The job that I have made that much easier because I was able to have people back here take care of my responsibilities for me.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
So that made a lot of, had I had like a 9-to-5, I would have had to quit the job.
Right.
And hope to God that Amanda could, you know,
make it.
But I was able to be out in Wyoming, but still somehow have my hand in Fort Wayne back here. Making everything happen.
Yeah.
And that made it a lot more difficult to enjoy the traveling aspect
of
it.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no way.
But at the end of the day, it was worth it because I got new fans.
Yeah.
So I sold a few records, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I made connections with people out in Albuquerque, people out in Denver.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was hard and it was difficult. It stressed me the fuck out, but in hindsight, you know what I'm saying? It was worth it. It's very difficult to juggle the two and balance the two.
Does a lot of that then fall on Amanda? That's a significant other, in case you haven't picked that up.
Right.
Does a lot of that fall on her then when you're out promoting, you're out, you know, grinding?
Yeah, she holds it down, man. She definitely holds it down. She's a great mother.
Yeah.
You know, anytime she supports me 100% in my dreams and what I want to do.
Yeah.
When I first told her I was going on tour, she was like, shit.
Yeah,
right. Like, okay, you know what I mean? Like,
leave me with these fucking kids. Yeah. I'm killing you.
I was in, obviously, before I left, I made sure there was babysitters in place, my parents helped out, and her parents watched and stuff. But she's never like, anytime like I got a show, this, you know, it's like, okay, how are we gonna make this work?
Yeah,
you know. So like, she's definitely very supportive and
cool.
You know, holds it down when I need her to hold it down.
This morning
while I'm here, my nephew's at our house too, so she's got our kids and my nephew there.
I like to ask that question because, like, I sometimes, like, people give us shit about this show. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, you guys just get together and drink bourbon, have fun, must be nice. And I'm
I do that shit too.
We were working hard.
I have two kids and I still do that.
Right. And, like, that's right.
You just don't get to do it as much.
Right. And, like, well, and, like, people don't see that, right? You're on stage, like, nobody thinks about, like, the fact that you got two kids at home and you got
just listening to the music.
Right.
Which is, I think that's an awesome aspect to think about sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when the people walk up to you when you get off stage and they're like, bro, that was really awesome. And you're like, you can actually rap and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, most people that come up here, they're like, garbage. And they're rapping over their vocals and stuff
Right.
Like, you actually, you know what I mean? And it's like, and then like they ask, you know, everybody starts asking questions.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I just kind of give them a little background on me. They're like, man, that's really impressive.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like what I'd like to leave everybody with is that, like, to chase your dream, you got to be able to grind. Like, you got to be able to work for
sacrifices.
It. Like, yeah, there's a lot of shit that goes into things. And like, we're launching Patreon, which is like essentially like we have subscribers who now pay for our product.
That's tight.
Like, they pay for this podcast.
Congratulations.
And, like, we're I don't know, $35-$40 in now every month we get for this, like, which is fucking nothing, right? But it is amazing.
But I'll tell you what, I just recently
started getting the Spotify money and stuff bro. It's awesome.
It's insane.
It's awesome.
We were, the last episode, if we make $3 I'm gonna lose my fucking mind.
Right, because that's $3 we didn't have.
Yeah, that's
$3 that we couldn't put back into this.
Right, and now, like, every month we get $40. We haven't even really launched it yet.
Right.
Like, so, thank you to everybody who understands that, like, to chase your dreams, you need help, you need support, like, and it's a grind. There are sacrifices that we make to bring great art to you guys, or, well, shitty art for us, but he's doing real
right,
shit.
Yeah, he's doing
he's,
good
he's, doing,
right.
doing, he's
right.
doing a talented thing. We're just fucking idiots.
Right.
But, like, it takes work, it takes a lot of effort, so, like, to those of you guys who have subscribed to our Patreon, thank you so much. Like, can't thank you guys enough. Actually, Rodney deserves a thing right here because that's one of the Patreon.
Oh my God.
I hope you don't put it there.
Yeah.
No, one of the things we said is, like, when I do this, he's going to bring it from the other side. You fucker.
I think as long as you keep chasing them, man, it's going to pay off, bro.
Yeah.
Just a little side story, man. The first time that I really knew that it could be real was when we got booked to open up for Ritz. If you don't know who Ritz is, he signed Strange Music, which was Tech N9ne's label.
Right, yeah.
He's not a superstar, but the show he did in Kokomo pulled 1,000 people out.
Jesus.
There was a sea of 1,000 people, and we got to perform for that, bro. And, like, all the openers before us were garbage, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they would get done with their song, the whole crowd stone-faced, like, golf player. And I'm like, bro, they're about to eat us alive.
Yeah, this is terrible.
I was like, this is going to suck, bro. But at the time, me and Buffkin both had, like, we hadn't become as good as we are now, but we were really starting to figure out how to be good rappers, bro.
Yeah, right.
And we get out there, and we're like, hey, we're AMFJ and Kid Buck. Everybody's like, yeah. And we start performing, dude. And the first song we did was a song we have on a street duet called No Sleep. And by the second time we did the hook, all 1,000 people started fucking doing the hook with us.
Nice.
Oh my god.
And I was just like, like three times I say no sleep, and on the third one I just didn't say it. I was just like captivated. I was like, 1,000 people are saying these fucking words that I wrote. Then the next song was a song that I rapped really fast on. So like as soon as I start chopping, everybody starts screaming so hard that it covers the sound of the woofers, and I can hear the beat. I just stopped rapping.
I was like,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then like the DJ messes up and cuts the beat when he's not supposed to, so I just start spitting something a cappella, and the crowd just loses it.
Oh my god,
1,000 people just screaming. Yeah. And it was like, we got off stage, and I was just kind of talking to Buff, and I was like, dude, that right there.
Yeah.
That right there.
Right.
That's why we do this, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that was amazing.
That's super cool.
I think we sold 75 copies of the album that night of a street duet. I was like, damn. It was awesome.
That is fucking awesome.
See, we gotta get into merchandise. We got no hard sell shit.
No.
Like, we don't have like a CD, like.
Oh yeah, this would be a perfect time to plug this again.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So if you guys haven't, check out Learn to Love Me.
Really? Were you like this?
Yeah.
It's my most recent album. It's definitely a step up from a street duet, the album we've been talking about. It gets a lot more real. On a street duet, there was a lot of fuckery, as me and Buffkin like to call it. Talking about pointless shit and dissing rappers. This is a lot of real life stuff. A lot of stuff that comes from my personal life. Things that I've personally seen. So,
I think
if you listen, you'll dig it, especially if you love hip-hop, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Good thing we plugged that at the beginning, too, because I guarantee you, like, nobody's watching right now.
Right, yeah. Hi, no one.
But it's gonna post, and the episode's gonna say, like, 3 hours and 2 minutes. And people are gonna be like, nope. So, thank you so much if you guys did follow along. Thank you so much for subscribing to our Patreon, you guys. Love you guys.
Yeah.
And if you haven't subscribed to our Patreon yet, I don't know why you want us to starve. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Check it out. Patreon.com/2GuysRaging.
Boom. All right. Thank you so much, you guys. This has been another episode of Two Guys with Raging Goals, and we will catch you on the next one.